Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Grizzlies get some good news on Monday after a rough weekend. We'll talk about that and get you set for tonight's matchup with the Boston Celtics. Plus, you'll hear some exclusive sound from Mike Conley and Chandler Parsons. All of that and, you know what, maybe a little more. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Hi there. I am Peter Edmiston, host of Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for being part of it, and thank you for all of the great feedback and comments that you continue to throw my way. Really appreciate you guys supporting the podcast. It is awesome to hear, and I appreciate that. Got some good stuff coming for you today. As I mentioned in the intro, you'll hear from Mike Conley coming up. I had a chance to talk to Mike for a bit about what happened on Sunday and about his progress in getting back to full health. Also talked with Chandler Parsons a little bit, David Fizdale. So you'll hear that audio coming up in a moment. From practice today, and as I record this, this is late on Monday. So Monday's practice was a very successful one for the Grizzlies. Chandler Parsons was a full participant, and I say full participant. They went through a pretty vigorous practice where it was an extensive film study after what happened on Sunday, and you know you can understand why. Offensively, there's a lot of things, in particular, this team has to work on. They are historically, or I should say officially now, and maybe historically based on how bad it has been, but they are officially now the worst offense in terms of points per possession in the league and worst half-court offense by a good margin, actually, in terms of points per possession. So a lot to work on there. Some of that is timing with Mike Conley coming back, Marc Gasol figuring out who to play through, how that's going to work itself out. All of that is a little bit tricky, but there was a lot that had to be done. So after that film study, Chandler Parsons was playing, and he was a full participant. They did full court, five-on-five stuff. They did the whole thing. He did not have to sit out of any of it, which is a good sign, and he is getting closer to the return that fans have been waiting for after the bone bruise that he's been dealing with. So says Grizzlies head coach David Fizdale.
Practice today, which was great. We got up and down and did some full court stuff. So that was a great sign to get him running up and down. And like I said, it's days now. Yeah, we're down to a matter of days. So I'm really excited, but I'm also, a realist from the standpoint. He'll be rusty too.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'm implementing a lot of rust into the mix so we can shake it off.
Implementing a lot of rust into the mix is a good way to put it. Mike Conley was severely rusty over the weekend, as we talked about yesterday on the pod. It was pretty obvious to watch, you know, when he goes just nothing, you know, 3 of 16 from the field, and didn't have it, didn't have the timing, all those things that he needed to have, he didn't have them. So you throw him into the mix, but then Chandler Parsons as well, and I think, you know, we'll talk about it some later on, but you know, maybe he could play tonight. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility based on what happened. Now, my guess is it's probably going to be a little later on in the week, Friday perhaps, but that was normally what happened. You know, Mike Conley said he knew because he went through a practice session on Monday last week, and he ended up playing on Friday. So maybe that's the timing, and maybe that's how it goes with Chandler Parsons as well. But I got the impression, based on what Chandler had to say, that he's not far. He's not far at all, and he was, you know, certainly getting excited and ready to go and ready to get out there. Here is what Chandler Parsons had to say about how he feels after his first full-court 5-on-5 practice in a while.
I feel great. You know, it's obviously awesome being able to come out here again and play after –
getting a little taste of it earlier in the year. You know, I hate not playing. I hate not, you know, feeling great. I hate, you know, not being able to help us win games. So just to be able to get out here today and practice and be with the team and compete, go 5-on-5 live, is awesome for me. And you know, just going to continue on the process. And you know, hopefully there's no setbacks tomorrow. And hopefully I feel great tomorrow so we can keep building off this and keep doing more and more.
A lot of dribbling in that clip. It was not Chandler Parsons dribbling, but you know, you're at practice, and there are, and particularly when we were talking to Chandler, I forget who it was, but somebody was just dribbling the hell out of the ball. I mean, hard dribbles. Like, I'm gonna get my money's worth out of these dribbles. So did the best I could with the audio, but you can't help but overhear some of that stuff that happens. Sometimes the gym can be quiet. You'll hear when I play you the Mike Conley interview that I did. Everything was very quiet, and it sounds like Mike and I are chatting in like a library or something. But that's not the case with the Chandler audio. But interesting stuff from him. I also kind of asked him, you know, does he sit and envision what his role with the offense is going to be when he comes in, and does he kind of allow himself to sort of think about what it is that he's going to do, you know, when he gets a chance to play again? You know, bearing in mind he's already played, but he was so rusty when he started that he didn't. It was very, very small amount of time, I think, when he really actually felt like he was healthy before he immediately had to go right back out again with a bone bruise. So I asked him kind of what does he envision once he gets back and gets fully integrated into the offense, what will his role be?
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Just to be a playmaker out there, to give them another option. You know, when I see them double and mark, I can't help but just see all the open shots I'm going to get, where I can cut, where I can run the floor and have Mike look ahead. Just, you know, us three being, you know, very unselfish, smart, high basketball IQ basketball players, you know, it's going to be fun to play together. And got a little bit of taste of it earlier, but big picture, when we're all healthy, we're all in shape, we're all, you know, clicking on all cylinders, it's going to be a really good thing. Add in Tony and Zeebo, J-Mike, all our young guys that have been great all year that carried the load for us while the vets were out. You know, we're going to be tough to beat.
I also talked with Chandler about, you know, how you manage your minutes and how you manage yourself, knowing that, you know, when you come back, you know, he's going to be on a minutes restriction. He's also going to try to prove what he can do. You know, there's excitement because he's been out for a while. I asked him kind of how you balance all of that stuff when you try to make your return.
So many things go into it. You know you're not going to play as well as you can. You know it's going to take time, and you know you're going to be rusty. Even today in practice, I was missing a couple of chippies, a couple of layups. When I first came back, that first game I had as a Grizzly was brutal. So I kind of expect to, you know, keep taking these steps, and even before I went down this last time, I was getting better and better every game up until, you know, Dallas was my best game of the year so far. So, you know, I just want to, biggest thing for me is when I'm healthy, I can play with anybody. So we just got to establish a rotation, a minutes restriction, and, you know, a plan here moving forward for me to be playing in my best and my most minutes in the playoffs.
You got to like the optimism, getting your most minutes, feeling good in the playoffs. Hopefully, considering that the bone bruise is on the other knee, the knee that wasn't, you know, twice surgically repaired, maybe he can fully recover and get everything back. The other knee seems to have gone through okay with all of this stuff and doesn't seem to be in any kind of a unusual situation for him. So, you know, if he can just get back and get a run of games, and so at least the Grizzlies can get a feel, get a sense of what it is that he's going to be able to do for them, that would be awfully handy. I know many of you have talked about it, I would imagine. Some of you have asked me about it, and I was just kind of curious, so I asked David Fizdale at the end of the Utah game was another example, but we've seen it throughout the season. Zach Randolph sometimes playing at the end of games, sometimes not. You know, Zach, for his part, wanted to play at the end of games as kind of a, you know, I don't know if it was like a quid pro quo, but he wanted to be able to finish games. He didn't care so much about starting games, but he really still wants to finish games. He felt like he had earned that right to some extent, and that's a difficult thing because you saw at the end of the game, against Utah, the Grizzlies needed scoring, and clearly Zach is one of the best guys the Grizzlies have at scoring. They are, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the worst offense right now half-court-wise in the league, so they need to find people that can score. Zach can do that. But defensively, when you start giving up the threes the way that the penetration Zach gave up was leading to, it makes it hard to keep Zach on the floor. This has been the thing late in ball games. You know, do you go with the guy that can score, or do you go with the guy that can defend in Jermichael Green? How do you manage that situation? So I asked David Fizdale that very question, and I thought his answer was very interesting.
I just go by feel and what I see we need at the time. You know, Zach's still fighting for his rhythm, to be honest with you. You know, Zach missed 7 games, and, you know, it's not easy to just jump back into the fold after 7 games and be, you know, right back where you were and scoring and rebounding and execution and all of those things. So, like I told him, I understand his situation, and we're just going to keep working him back into the mix as well as possible. But, you know, when we need scoring, I will go to Zach a lot. I just felt like as soon as I started seeing those threes rain, we had to somehow try to wipe those threes out. By that time, though, it was too late. They had already bombed us out of the game.
It's a difficult position for David Fizdale to be in. It's not easy to read it. It's definitely a game-by-game basis. The Grizzlies still have a lot of guys that are, you know, just really productive on one end of the floor, but not so much the other. And, you know, on nights like Sunday when the game, you know, is such a defensive game for so long, you know, sometimes the wild card of Zach scoring can be really good. But then on the flip side, when it is such a defensive game, when somebody doesn't do their job defensively or when someone isn't quite capable of handling the matchup defensively and you get breakdowns, then that shows up as well. It is not as simple as a lot of folks would like to make it out to be. And as a result, you know, and plus, I mean, defensively, the defensive deficiencies don't jump out the way that scoring on offense does. I mean, when Zach, you know, bodies somebody in, backs him down, scores from the post, very clear, very obvious what happened. If there's a defensive breakdown, it sometimes is not quite as obvious. That also leads to some of the second-guessing and the criticism that have happened for David Fizdale late in these games. It isn't easy, but that's why he's the head coach. And he'll have to continue making these decisions throughout the year with a roster that kind of forces you to improvise to some extent and to really follow the guys that are hot in a way that maybe other rosters that are a little more settled, and especially those that haven't had to deal with these kinds of injuries, you don't have to deal with that when you have those kinds of teams. Time now for an extended chat with Mike Conley. I talked to the newly returning point guard for the Grizzlies, and I started our conversation with a question about how his back was reacting to 2 full games and a practice.
I've had no issues. I mean, it's gone as well as I could imagine. As much as losing 2 in a row has hurt, and last night losing the way we did and not performing the way we wanted to. You know, the good thing I get out of it is when I got home, I was telling my wife, I'm like, man, I feel good. I'm feeling better and better each game. So that's the thing. You know, my game will come back, and that's not a problem. As long as my body is good, that's the most important thing.
So do you sweat? Like, I mean, no one likes to lose. Losing sucks. Mm-hmm. That's the way it goes. But do you sweat the performance, the specifics of what happened? What do you go back when you watch and did film study today? What did you focus on?
Well, we did a lot of offense, actually, today. For myself, you know, I came in early and got shots in like I normally do just to get the rhythm back. But as far as team-wise, we just, you know, execution was key. And that was a team that we lost to last night that did the right things at the end of the game. We did not play with the right pace. We didn't cut hard enough. We didn't screen and move the ball, you know, and we didn't make it easier for ourselves. You know, as much as we weren't shooting the ball well, we weren't getting easy opportunities for ourselves. So we worked on a lot of that today in this short practice.
So when you're, like, down the stretch, I went back and rewatched, and you and Mark That was it. The last 3 minutes was only you and Mark in terms of two-man game. No one else touched it. No one else was even. Now, does that happen because of a spacing issue, Adam, because of what you call? Like, go take me through kind of some of that.
Yeah. You know, it's normally a pick and roll between me and Mark mostly at the end of the games, or you know, something with us in the action. But I think last night it got to the point where, you know, Utah was doing a good job of trying to limit our, you know, easy looks. That at the end of the game, we're like, we have to get a shot, we have to get a look, you know.
When you guys run stuff to set up that, I mean, early off or dummy offense, other stuff to like set up that, but it looked, it didn't look like that was happening.
Yeah,
as much.
we weren't getting it. I think a lot of the things that help set up our opportunities like that are our ability to finish, our ability to spread the court by making shots, and our guys screening, and we weren't doing it that early, so they weren't falling for anything that we normally would run, because we weren't getting the first part of it, you know, early in the game. So it was kind of just really bottled up, and they did a good job. You credit them for that.
Fizz talks about the fact that against a team like that, especially the windows for getting your offense, doing, you know, getting whatever your position is, are pretty short, like, and they'll stifle it. Is that for you just a timing thing to just come back and like figure, okay, I got to be about a half second faster on that pass?
Right. And that's for me is all timing. It's, you know, not making a decision half a second late, but right on time. Shooting the ball when you're ready, not because you're just trying to throw something up to the rim to keep a possession alive. And those are things that, you know, as the games go on, I'll find that rhythm again and be able to, you know, not be thinking about that as much and just letting it happen.
Is there a timetable for what you would think, like, let's say you, Mark, Chandler, everybody's back, James, is there like a, like you'd expect like 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks, like where you'd say, okay, I feel like we're clicking, we kind of get each other, we get the spacing where we're going to be?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, it's never really a timetable because you never know how quickly you can click.
Right.
Just like you never, a lot of people wouldn't guess outside of our team that we would have won so many games with so many guys out. You never know how things are going to react, how reactions happen. So it could be two games. It could be when Chandler's first game back, we start clicking. So we're just trying to get it as quickly as possible. And, you know, we're working for that.
Alrighty, quick 3Q preview of the game against the Boston Celtics tonight. Wrapping up this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Three questions before the game. Question number one, how long will it take for that rust to come off of Mike Conley? The stuff that he was talking about, you heard him in my chat with him about, you know, timing being a little bit off, about those kinds of things. How long will it take for the rust to come off Mike Conley? Will we see it start to fly off immediately tonight? Tough matchup against a very, very, very quick Isaiah Thomas, who's averaging 25 points a game, one of the premier scorers in the Eastern Conference and really in the NBA. You know, if Mike's going to be rusty, it's going to be tricky against a dude that can go off very, very quickly. And, of course, on offense, the Grizzlies, if they're going to run through Mike and Mark in pick and roll, then they've got to get better results, and they got to get better early offense. They got to get better what they call dummy offense, stuff that is kind of off to the side that helps to set up a better position for the actual action that they want to run. They got to do a better job of all of that, and part of that just comes from Mike not being rusty. So how long will that take? I guess we'll see more tonight, but you would think that it's going to start as he's been able to practice at least and go through two full games. You would hope that it starts to come off pretty quickly at this point. If not, then you go back to the game or the episode yesterday of the pod where two-thirds of you said Mike really probably shouldn't be playing. I think this is really going to be the test. If he doesn't improve in this ball game and if it continues to be bad, then I do think you got to probably sit him for a little bit, put him back on the shelf, go grab Wade Baldwin out of Iowa as best you can and cobble through, because, you know, if he's not playing at a high level, Mike Conley, then it really does more harm than good. Second question, will Chandler Parsons play? Now, I would say the answer is in all likelihood, no. But you heard Chandler earlier on. He's not far away. David Fizdale referred to it as days. Yeah, I don't think he'll play tonight. I would say it's, like I said, it's probably 90-95% chance that he doesn't. I just think there might be a little hint of a possibility just to shake things up and to try to expedite the process of getting him back into the mix. It's a tiny, tiny chance. I still say no, but it's not a 0% chance. And finally, last question. How do the Grizzlies stop the pick and roll play of the Boston Celtics, which has been really effective for them? They are, you know, one of the better teams in the league, not only from a ball handling perspective, you know, whoever's running that pick and roll, whether it's Isaiah Thomas or Avery Bradley or somebody like that. And their role guys, you know, they have all been, you know, pretty darn good. And that's one area of the Grizzlies defense. You know, by and large, the Grizzlies are the best or second best, depending on your metric, defense in the league. The one area where they are susceptible still is in defending the pick and roll, where they have not been consistent enough with their coverages and with their communication. They can be exploited at times, and the Celtics happen to be, you know, one of the better teams in the league at being able to do that. So how will they stop? Will we see, you know, a more aggressive approach? Will we see, you know, Marc Gasol, you know, really orchestrating at a super high level out there? Will we see some gambling? Will we see Tony Allen come through and really try to disrupt at a level that you know he can? Will Mike Conley be able to keep guys in front of him? You know, particularly Isaiah Thomas, very difficult thing to do. You know, Andrew Harrison coming off of the bench, he's got to be able to defend without fouling, particularly against guys that are going to be a lot quicker than him. You know, how do they do that? Where do the bigs play out? There's a lot of questions. So I think if you're going to beat the Celtics, and the Celtics have not been consistent this year, but if you're going to beat them, then you're going to have to get a handle and get under control the danger that they can pose in the pick and roll. So watching the Grizzlies in their pick and roll coverages tonight will be very interesting, and it will definitely tell you whether or not they're going to have a chance to beat the Celtics, who are, you know, averaging 10 points a game or so more than the Grizzlies. You know, no, that's points scored. You know, net rating is better too, but this is a tricky team, no question about it, and a tough matchup for the Grizzlies. They need that win. They need to get off the schneid, stop that losing streak at two, and get right back to where they need to be. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.